Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump are running for president facing historically negative views from voters. Larry Sabato of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia said Americans always complain about their presidential candidates. "It's in the American character," he said. But this year is different. Both candidates have more voters viewing them unfavorably than favorably, according to a CBS New York Times survey. CBS said the negatives for both candidates in its March survey were the highest of any presidential race since 1984. David Redlost is a political scientist at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Democrats are strongly negative on Trump and Republicans strongly negative on Clinton, he said. And the folks in the middle are more negative than positive, with the edge to Trump on negativity. The two likely nominees, however, have 5 months to Election Day on November 8th to change voters' negative views. Clinton needs to win over supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders. In April, about 25% of Sanders' supporters said that they won't vote for Clinton. Trump, a New York businessman, has faced tough criticism from Republican leaders. The two top Republican congressional leaders said this week that they considered Trump's statements that a judge with Mexican heritage couldn't judge him fairly to be racist. But they said they still support Trump. Howard Dean is a former Democratic governor of Vermont who ran for his party's presidential nomination in 2004. Billy Tauzin served 25 years as a U.S. congressman, 15 as a Democrat, and the last 10 as a Republican. Dean supports Clinton for president, and Tauzin supports Trump. Dean agrees that both candidates have high negatives, but he said that the possibility of Trump becoming president will scare people enough to vote for Clinton. She is a former Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, and First Lady. Tauzin said that Trump has a chance to win because voters are angry with politicians from both parties. Trump is running as a successful businessman, not a politician. What he needs to do, Tauzin said, is hire smart people and offer specifics on how he will make America great again. Norm Ornstein is the political and government expert at the American Enterprise Institute. He is not sure that Trump will listen to those who tell him to get on script and stop attacking anybody who criticizes him. I have no doubt that people are whispering into his ear and telling him, "You can't say that," just as the pundits have been saying all along, Ornstein said. But every time he said something outrageous, he continued marching through the primaries and eliminated the large Republican field before Hillary Clinton won enough delegates to beat Bernie Sanders. Ornstein said it would be easier for Clinton to change the views of voters with negative views of her than it will be for Trump to win over his critics. 8 years ago, Clinton noted she was in the same position as Sanders, losing out to then-Democratic Senator Barack Obama for the party's nomination. Sabato, director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, said 2016 will be a unique year in American politics. "We've never had a woman nominee from any major party," Sabato said. "We've never had a former first lady run. And goodness knows, we've never had a Donald Trump."
The World Health Assembly has directed its health agency to react faster and more effectively to health emergencies. The UN has been reforming parts of the emergency health system for years, including its health agency, the World Health Organization. The Ebola epidemic in West Africa showed that WHO's response to emergencies needed to be improved quickly. Ebola was discovered in Guinea in March 2014. But it was not until 5 months and many deaths later that WHO said Ebola was an international public health emergency. The aid group Doctors Without Borders has been sharply critical of WHO's response to Ebola. More than 11,000 people were killed by the disease before December 2015. Joanne Liu is the president of Doctors Without Borders. She said she is pleased that a new plan has been announced. But she says it must be followed by action. The creation of the new WHO Health Emergencies Program is a positive step forward. But we know there is no quick fix, she said. There is no cheap fix. So, without the buy-in of member states and strong leadership, it will die on paper. WHO reports that 130 million people globally need humanitarian aid, and all need health care. WHO Director General Margaret Chan said outbreaks of Ebola and other diseases must be dealt with soon after they begin, or they will become a humanitarian crisis. She said WHO and its partners are working hard to deal with the Zika outbreak. The Zika outbreak is now affecting so many countries, and not just in the Americas region, but Zika is at the doorstep of Africa now, she says. With movement of people around the world, this is the kind of thing we should expect. We need to be prepared so that every country has the capability and capacity to prevent, to detect, and to respond to any emergencies. Brazil has been most affected by the Zika outbreak. Thousands of cases of the Zika virus have occurred. Doctors say hundreds of pregnant women are carrying fetuses with microcephaly, which is linked to brain disorders from birth. Brazilian Health Minister Fonseca Santos said his country has increased its monitoring program and is spending $250 million on research. The most important lesson, he says, was that we should be prepared all the time, even for a disease that we are used to. And we believe sometimes that we know everything about it, and it can still surprise us any time and become an emergency. yellow fever has spread from Angola to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has confirmed 41 cases of people infected in other countries. Bokenge Bosua works at the DRC Ministry of Health. He said his government has created a plan to prevent and prepare for the disease. He said a 5-day-long vaccination campaign began last week in the capital, Kinshasa. Also, we are focusing on mandatory vaccinations for travelers to Angola, he says. Anyone who goes to Angola needs to be vaccinated against yellow fever. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi spoke to the U.S. Congress Wednesday, calling for closer ties between the two countries, especially in fighting terrorism. Modi called the United States an indispensable partner. Modi thanked House Speaker Paul Ryan for the invitation to speak for the first time at the U.S. Capitol, which he called a temple of democracy. Modi noted that India is the world's largest democracy, committed to freedom, democracy, and equality. He told Congress that his nation and the U.S. have overcome the hesitations of history. Modi spoke about new problems around the world presented by terrorism. He thanked the Congress for taking action against extremist groups. Speaking of trade, Modi said that India now trades more with the U.S. than any other country and called for continuing close economic and defense ties. And he noted the two countries' cultural ties, including the millions of Americans who practice yoga. More Americans bend for yoga than to throw a curveball, he said. Modi is the fifth Indian leader to address Congress since 1985. It is his fourth visit to Washington since being elected in 2014. He was previously banned from entering the United States after religious riots broke out in the Indian state he governed. Modi was criticized for not doing enough to stop the religious violence. On Tuesday, the Indian leader met with President Obama. Obama and Modi discussed security issues and ways to limit the spread of nuclear weapons. Obama thanked Modi for his commitment to renewable energy technologies. Amy Sobel of Human Rights First said Modi's visit is an opportunity for Obama to bring up global efforts to fight modern slavery. She said the two leaders should keep the U.S.-India relationship grounded in respect for human dignity and fundamental rights. I'm Brian Lynn.
The United States has returned more than 200 ancient artifacts to the government of India. The artifacts were valued at more than $100 million. They had been stolen from religious sites in India and taken out of the country. The artifacts included statues and pieces made of bronze and terracotta. Some pieces were more than 2,000 years old. They were returned to the Indian government Monday at a ceremony in Washington, D.C. The meeting was attended by U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. On behalf of President Barack Obama, it is my great privilege to return these marvelous objects to the people of India, Lynch said. Among the pieces is a statue of Saint Marikava Kakkar. The saint was a Hindu mystic and poet who lived during the 9th century. That statue was stolen from the Sivan Temple in Chennai, India. It is valued at $1.5 million. Another is a bronze sculpture of the Hindu god Ganesha. It is estimated to be close to 1,000 years old. Most of the pieces were seized during Operation Hidden Idol. The operation was an investigation that began in 2007 after American Homeland Security special agents received a tip. The tip was about a shipment of 7 boxes being shipped to the United States and labeled as Marble Garden Table Sets. The boxes contained stolen artifacts. Lynch added, "Today, more than 200 antiquities and cultural artifacts that speak to India's astounding history and beautiful culture are beginning their journey home, where they can be studied and reflected upon for generations to come." Prime Minister Modi was thankful to the U.S. for returning the artifacts to India. Since 2007, the United States has returned more than 8,000 stolen artifacts to 30 countries. The countries receiving paintings, rare manuscripts, and artifacts include France, Germany, Poland, and Austria. Others include Italy, Peru, China, Cambodia, and Iraq. I'm Mario Ritter.
Tennis star Maria Sharapova said she will appeal the 2-year suspension by the International Tennis Federation, or ITF. The ITF said Sharapova was responsible for failing a test earlier this year for the banned drug known as meldonium. The usual suspension is 4 years, but the independent panel reduced it to 2. The panel said Sharapova was the sole author of her own misfortune. The suspension was reduced because it could not prove Sharapova intended to cheat. Sharapova wrote on Facebook that, "I cannot accept an unfairly harsh 2-year suspension." The 5-time Grand Slam winner added that she did not do anything intentionally wrong, and she will appeal the ITF's decision with the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Sharapova failed the drug test in late January while playing in the Australian Open. She was provisionally suspended right away, which means the soonest she will be allowed to play again is January 2018. Meldonium is a drug made in Eastern Europe and popular with athletes from that part of the world. It is supposed to increase blood flow and helps athletes by carrying more oxygen to muscles. Sharapova said she was taking a drug called Mildrinate for over 10 years, but she did not know it was the same as meldonium. Meldonium was only banned from world tennis starting with the 2016 season. Sharapova argued her case during a hearing in London in May. The ruling prevents Sharapova from competing in the upcoming Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The Russian Tennis Federation has already replaced her with another player. About 200 athletes tested positive for meldonium this year. Many argued that the drug stayed in their system even though they last used it in 2015. Earlier this year, the World Anti-Doping Association said some athletes who had tested positive might have their suspensions lifted if they could prove their last dose was 2015. But during the hearing, Sharapova's lawyer said she did use the drug in 2016. I'm Anna Mateo.
This is What's Trending Today. When you are watching a movie and a character jumps out of a moving car or runs into a burning building, things may not be as they seem. Many times, the images are edited to make it look like the actor playing the part is doing the dangerous action. But usually, such stunts are done by other professionals, like stunt woman Jessie Graff. She used to compete in the pole vault in college. She is also an expert at the Korean fighting method called Taekwondo. Graff is tall and strong. She looks like a lot of actors in Hollywood. Her job is to do all the risky moves the actors cannot do. One of the television shows Graff works on is Supergirl. When the lead actor needs a break, Graff steps in. But recently, Graff is getting attention for her work on another television show. It is called American Ninja Warrior. It is a sports competition show. And earlier this week, Graff completed the show's difficult obstacle course. At the end, she had to run and climb up a very high and steep wall. She did so wearing the clothes of a comic superhero. Graff was dressed as Wonder Woman. On Wednesday, Graff was one of the trending topics on Facebook. People commented that they loved her costume and her strength. Even actor Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman in the 1970s television show, offered her congratulations. Now, Graff moves on to the finals of American Ninja Warrior. She will compete with other qualifiers from several cities around the U.S. And that's What's Trending Today.
The social media website Twitter has announced major updates to its service. Some changes will make it easier to add words and images to a tweet. Other changes will affect how tweets can be sent and who will see them. Twitter permits only 140 characters in a tweet, including letters, numbers, web addresses, images, spaces, and hashtags. The limit on characters can make it difficult to say something meaningful. The company is changing the way that characters are counted. Twitter will no longer count the following as characters in tweets: web addresses, photos, GIFs, polls, quote tweets, Twitter IDs in replies. So when these are used in a tweet, they will not be counted against the 140 character limit. This is great news for those who want to have more space to share their thoughts on Twitter. Web addresses, also known as URLs, will no longer be included in the character count. This change is very important, and not just because it gives users more words per tweet. Web addresses can take up a lot of characters, so some websites use a shortened web address in tweets. For example, two web addresses can open the Voice of America Learning English article, Travel Apps Offer Direction Fun. One is a full web address. The other is a shortened link. But not all shortened web addresses lead you to safe websites. Shortened web addresses can cause big problems because you cannot see the full web address of the website you are opening. You may think you are clicking on a link to take you to a trusted website, but you may get a surprise instead. The shortened link can hide the actual website that will open. Clicking on a shortened link could open a site with malware. Your computer could become infected with a damaging program. So Twitter will now permit users to include the full web address without affecting the character count. As a result, there will be no need to use a shortened link. Have you ever written the perfect tweet, then added a photo and gone beyond the 140 character limit? That is frustrating. Now, when you write a tweet, you can use all 140 characters and an image. The image will not affect the character count. The same is true of Twitter polls. They will no longer count as characters. Similarly, users can quote a tweet and not have the quoted tweet count against the character limit. Click on the Quote Tweet button and the quoted tweet will be included in a tweet, but those characters will not count toward the limit. Twitter has also removed IDs in replies from the character count. Let's say a conversation starts on Twitter. You reply to a tweet that is itself a reply to someone else, and then someone else replies to that tweet. The reply tweets could be filled with @name1, @name2, @name3 as the conversation continues. Suddenly, you have few characters left to share your thoughts. Twitter IDs in replies will no longer count against the limit. Note that a Twitter ID will still count against the 140 character limit in tweets that are not replies. Twitter announced more changes that will affect the way users tweet. Twitter no longer bars users from retweeting their own tweets. You can retweet yourself and quote your own tweets as often as you like, whenever you like. But what tweeters cannot do anymore is target a tweet to a person with their Twitter ID. In the past, tweets that started with @name were only seen by that person, and accounts that follow both the sender and the person who was mentioned. Many people got around that restriction by starting a tweet with a period before the Twitter name. So a tweet would begin with @name instead of @name, so more people would see the tweet. Twitter's update means tweets that begin with @name will go to all of your followers, not just the followers you have in common with @name. Twitter is making these changes slowly over the coming months. If you add a photo to a tweet and it uses up characters, then the changes for your account are not effective yet. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.